Welcome to Heart with Keisha B., the podcast that focuses on the journey of grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. Whether you're dealing with loss or life challenges, this is a podcast that you don't want to miss. I am your host, Keisha B. So take a deep breath, open your mind and your soul, and sit back as we embark on this journey together. Hello, 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 everyone. As you know, this is Heart to Heart with Keisha B. I feel like it has been forever since I have seen you all. But what I see is that we have some guests that's already in the room, Linda. So what they know is I normally do a call of action, right? My call of action at every time I start Heart to Heart with Keisha B on my live episode is call somebody, text somebody, scream to the other room, whatever you got to do. As you know, this podcast does not start until we have 10 or 15 people. So Linda, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, the message is already out there. The word is already out there because the numbers are starting to move. But we're gonna go ahead and give you a little bit of time to get on up in this room, right? Give you a little bit of time. But again, I want to welcome, if you are a new listener, new follower, thank you for supporting Heart to Heart with Keisha B. If you're one of my returning guests, as always, you already know what this is. This is a moment that we're about to talk some business. We're about to get uncomfortable in this space today. But we're gonna go ahead and let these people come on up in here, Linda. But how your day doing? How you doing today?
Doing real good today. I'm so excited to be here with you, Sarah, and have this conversation, much needed conversation. Yes. So yes. I'm good.
That's good. That's good. Here in West Virginia, we're doing well. Our weather's been fluctuating a little bit. It was, you know, real hot last week. This week, the weather's been a little bit different, but change is okay, right? Because in life, we had to adapt, no matter what the adaptation got to be, whatever we got to adapt to, we got to adapt to it. But I want to go ahead and let you know our numbers are going up. And I see you already starting to do a little bit of sipping. So this is going to be, it's going to be it. So this is going to be it. But again, I want to say thank you all for coming on to Heart with Keisha B. As you know, this is a podcast that we're going to probably step on a few people's toes, but it's okay. But let me go ahead and share some things with you while you are calling somebody, texting somebody, or screaming to the other room. If you're currently seeking support from someone who can help you rediscover your purpose, reconnect with your heart, and rebuild your life while honoring your legacy of the child that you love so deeply. Hello, I am Lakeisha Barron Brown, therapist, grief coach, and host of Heart to Heart with Keisha B. I'm a mother who understands your pain, and I have the heart to guide you as you move forward through your grief, as well as your healing journey. Welcome to Heart with Keisha B. Again, this is a space that focuses on grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. If you are a new listener, welcome. If you are a returning listener, as always, thank you for your continuous support. If you are ready to engage in a raw, uncomfortable conversations, I'm here to tell you, you are in the right place. But we also want to make sure that you get some other folks in this place. Now, I'm here to tell you, your toes gonna get stepped on tonight. You may want to get some Kleenex, right? You may want to go ahead and tell somebody ahead of time that you're sorry, because you about to take off these masks, right? Whether it's your makeup, whether it's your Louis Vuitton, whatever it may be today, we need y'all to uncover who you are. Because today we're talking about the mask that we wear, understanding and healing from your inner pain. So I'm gonna go ahead and get started. All right. I'm not gonna
hold these. Go ahead and get started.
I'm gonna go ahead and get started. So today, as always, I bring you a guest who is going to motivate, inspire, uplift, and make you a little bit uncomfortable. But while she's doing that, she's gonna ask you to take off that mask. I'm about to hurt somebody's feelings. The eyebrows, the eyelashes, all the stuff, right? We want you to shed it down, because the outer layer is only a cover for what's going on the inside. So today we have Linda. Linda comes to us from Texas. She is a psychotherapist, an author, and understand this, I will not leave this out, she is also my soror of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. So if I got some sorors out there that's listening, go ahead and call up some other stores and tell them to get on this call. All my Greek, D9, whoever you may be, we want to thank you today for your support. And again, this is Heart to Heart with Keisha B. Currently, right now, we're going live on Facebook. We're going live on YouTube. And so at this time, we're going to go ahead and open up the show. So, Soror, I'm going to ask you again, how you doing?
I am doing well, and I want to make sure I give a shout out to my followers, because I see them coming in the room telling me what's up. So shout out to all the people that support me, that follow me, that hold me up. I appreciate you.
Yes, yes, yes. So as we're talking about who Linda can actually see coming in the room. So what we want to do is, for the moment, we want to go ahead and ask that you go ahead and place in the chat. Let us know where you're coming from. Let us know what state you're representing from. Because again, we want to show that this podcast is not only impacting people in Texas, not only impacting people in West Virginia, but we're going to impact the world, right? And so in the chat, please be a little bit comfortable, right? I'm going to ask you to get uncomfortable sometimes, but right now, just be a little bit comfortable and let us know where you're calling from today. And the reason that I'm asking that, or where you're coming from today, the reason I'm asking that is because this is a live episode. And what does that mean? That means that all chats are open. They're live. We're going to be able to see exactly what you're writing in the chat. We'll put it up on the screen. You have the opportunity that if you want to come and be a guest on this podcast, on this particular episode, I can actually invite you onto the show as well. So again, ladies, gentlemen, whoever you may be, we are about to go into a space that's uncomfortable. Buckle up, put your seatbelt on, but we're going for a ride. All right. So Linda, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you, because again, as I am the host, this is your show today. Let us know, how does grief, healing, and unforeseen circumstances have impacted your life and may still impact your life to bring you here today to speak with us?
First, one of the things I think is important to mention is we often put grief in a container of losing a person to death, to physical death. And grief is so many things. It's connected to so many losses. And so I've had losses. I've had losses from childhood. I think the earliest loss I can remember is when I had to leave elementary school and leave some of my friends behind. So I think on this journey of traveling, we find so many times that we lose things, and how we process that loss, how we process the pain we feel from the loss, impacts who we become and how we show up in the world. And so one of the things I have learned as a psychotherapist, a woman, a Black woman, a sister, a daughter, is that when we don't process the pain we feel, whether it's connected to a loss, grief, or trauma, when we don't process it, we oftentimes stuff it. And then we polish it and make it pretty for the world to see. And I call that polished pain.
All right. All right. Now, what I know, you didn't already touch somebody, because somebody's like, uh-oh, that's me. So let me say this to everyone. This evening, we will be doing some call of actions, right? So our first call of action was getting people here on the call. So as you see, throughout the rest of this evening, we're going to continue to do some call of action. So whether it's me as the host, or whether it's Linda as the guest. And so again, we want you to be engaged. But right now, Linda, I want to tell you, we got folks from West Virginia, we got folks from Louisiana. They are in this building today. And so at this time, Linda, you sort of start talking about how people are polishing themselves, because again, we all have faced something, right? All of our lives are comprised of self-induced trauma, right? Or trauma that somebody has caused on us. And so let's start getting into the subject of what does that look like, right? Because our goal is, as we're talking about trauma, we're talking about the polishing, unmasking that, to start really working on the real person and the real issues. So I know, as you stated, you are a psychotherapist. And so as a therapist myself, I sort of know what that looks like. And so talk to us about that, like not just your life, but even diving into a professional life as well. But first, we want to know about Linda.
Well, I grew up in the town called Lake Providence, Louisiana, which has been named by Times Magazine and CNN as the poorest town in the U.S. And while people often see poverty as only related to money, there are so many other things that come along with being impoverished, Okay. Mm-hmm. And so growing up in such an environment, it's not just about what I experienced in my home or in my family, but it's also what you experience in your community. Yes. And so as we begin to unfold and talk about polished pain, talk about the mask we wear, talk about what it looks like when you are not mentally and emotionally well, we have to first understand that a lot of the things we deal with in our adult life are really connected to things we experienced as children. And it's not always abuse or neglect. Sometimes the people that raised us did the very best they could with what they had. However, you still had experiences, whether it was at home, at church, come on somebody, or at school. You had experiences that did not feel good or did not fulfill a need you had. And in the process of missing the mark, in the process of not getting what you needed, in the process of experiencing trauma, oftentimes we're not taught what to do with it. And so what we do is we polish it. Let me tell you what that looks like. It means I become an overachiever. It means I become a people pleaser. It means I want to please everybody. I want to be the strong one all the time. It means I don't give myself permission to be human and feel what I feel because I have to show up and always have it together. So I want people to understand, the listeners to understand, that when we talk about masks that we wear, we have all worn a mask at one time or another. Sometimes we're wearing many masks. Come on, somebody. Talk to me in the chat box and let me know that you understand what I'm saying. You know, and so what happens a lot of the times is you start wearing masks as children. Let me give you a very simple example. If you are a child and you fall and you're hurt, and let's say you're getting ready to walk into church, and you have on your good clothes, oftentimes the parent might say something like, get up, dust yourself off, stop that crying, nothing's wrong with you. In that very moment, when we tell that child that nothing is wrong with them, because we want them to still show up inside the church and look cute and look dressed and be dust off, what we're saying to them is, don't own your pain. Don't recognize that something is hurting you right now, because this is not the opportune time for that. And what we ultimately do is teach them to deny their truth and show up as something that they're really not.
Now I got to come back on screen for this one, right? Because this is what I say to people all the time, right? Because you have just stepped on somebody's toes, the church mama, right? The mama of the church, the aunties and all the folk, right? But here's something else that often happens that I have seen in our culture. What goes on in the home stays in the home, right?
You're not going to go there. You're not going to go there right now.
I'm going there.
Yes. Yes.
And so my question has always have been, but what happens if what's going on in the home is causing the trauma to this kid? That's causing the depression, the anxiety, the trauma, the PTSD. So now what goes back to what you're saying, besides walking into the church, you're telling this kid to stay in this space that's unhealthy for you. You bet not tell, because if you do, now there's a whole nother layer of what's going to happen.
So let me reframe that. Let me reframe that for you on another level. Mm-hmm. When we teach children to be loyal to secrecy, we teach them to deny their truth. And what we say is, ultimately, you're not as important as me saving face with the community that I don't want to know what's happening in this house, even though what's happening in the house is killing us.
Yes.
And so the child grows up and they're not only going to hold that one secret, because this is the thing. See, you're about to get me all caught up real quick. This is the thing. When you teach a child something, a skill, that's a skill. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a skill to lie. We cannot mm-hmm. teach them to be, have a, to hold a secret in this area, but be honest in the other area. And this is why so often children are confused and people like pedophiles or molesters can get away with doing something for so long, because over here we told the child, don't go tell anybody about this. So when the mm-hmm. person who is violating this child's innocence says to them, this is our secret, they've already been groomed to hold on to the secret. The adult in their life changed, but pain is still pain, whether you put it in a bowl yes. or put it in a cup.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and drink me a little bit of tea to that one.
When you are loyal to secrecy, you are disloyal to who you truly are. And it is a form of pain polishing, because if I'm hurting, and sometimes it's not that anybody in the house has abused me. It may be right. what I'm seeing happening in the house. But if mm-hmm. I'm loyal to keeping that a secret, then I'm disloyal to being honest about my pain.
Right. Right.
And that definitely is pain polishing. Yes. And it follows us into adulthood.
Yeah, because like you say, it becomes a habit, it becomes a lifestyle. It's their normalcy, mm-hmm. even though it's not the best for them. It's like you say, it's a learned behavior. Yes. So it's no longer, it's yes. nature versus nurture, nurture versus nature, ooh, you know?
Yes, yes.
You know, but it happens so often for so many different reasons. And like you say, a lot yeah. of times it's because those that are teaching it don't want to take off their mask.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I teach it because somebody taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that's when it becomes generational. Yes. Masks are sometimes passed down. And I do it let's because mama taught me to do it. And her mama taught her to do it. But at some point, somebody has to stop and say, this is not working for me. I got to do something right. different. Because pain has to be processed. And if pain is not processed, it's going to keep driving the car. Even when you don't acknowledge that it's driving the car.
So let's go there. You brought up the topic of generational, right? Let's sort of talk about mm-hmm. that, because as we have people still joining the room, let's talk about the generational cycles and the dysfunction that it causes and that it has caused for generation after generation after generation, and what that looks like when we're also talking about the polish of the mask.
Well, I think when it comes to generational anything, sometimes we are so loyal to do it like mama did it or like grandmama did it, or this is how my culture does it, because generational is not only about your bloodline family. Sometimes it's culturally, this is how we do it as a race or as a culture of this type of people. And so when you become loyal to that, it's a blind, you allow yourself to be in an area where you're blind to a different way. And I don't want to say a better way. I want to say a healthier way. When we talk about generational, and I'm going to say pain polishing or trauma, I remember as a younger therapist, and I want to make it real plain to show you what that looks like. I remember as a younger therapist, I was speaking with a young lady. And she told me, she said, my daughter is pregnant, and her daughter was younger than 15. Mm-hmm. And she said, it's a disgrace to our family. She said, I'm going to go and have her to abort the baby. And I said, let's talk about it and let's have a conversation with her and the young man who's involved. And the mom said, there is no conversation needed. She wow. said, I did it. And my mom took me and aborted. I survived. It happened to mom. Her mom did it, and she survived.
Wow.
That example is an example. That's only one of hundreds, if not right. thousands, I can give you. Because let me tell you, I've been in this mental health game for 28 years now. Mm-hmm. And when you have a decision like that, the impact that it makes on the person who actually has to go through the process, when that impact or their thoughts about it is not even considered, and it's based right. on what happened to you in your past, that shows a generational pattern of mm-hmm. unhealthy choices. Was there a choice to be made? Absolutely. And we always have a choice.
Right.
But the choice was never given to the person who was impacted the most. So ultimately, that young lady did experience a level of trauma.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
And I'm sure her mom experienced a level of trauma that she polished. Just because we don't identify the pain doesn't mean the impact of the pain is not there.
Yes. So we have a question.
Because, yes.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. We have a comment in the chat.
Okay. I was going to say, just because time has passed doesn't mean the pain has lessened. So this whole idea of time heals all, let me tell you, Lakeisha, it's a lie.
It's a lie.
Time does not heal all.
No. It definitely does not. As you were talking about generational cycles, I'm going to put up on the screen. Marva, thank you for this insight. It says, when you say something about stopping the generational cycle, you become the black sheep of the family.
Uh-oh. Marva. Uh-oh. Marva.
Uh-oh.
It is true. It is true.
Yes.
Because your ideology is different from everybody else. And I want you to think about this. When you are unique in any area, you stand out. Sometimes it's difficult to stand out. I know it all too well. However, if it doesn't stop with me, it's going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't stop with me, somebody has to be bold enough to say, you can shun me. You can say, I think I'm too much, because that's what's said sometimes. Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
All of the things that are said, somebody is going to have to withstand that pressure to break the generational curse, to break those cycles that are taking us down, those things that are unhealthy. And if that means I have to be the person, guess what? I will be that person. But you are so right. Now, let me say this. When you see a healthier way of doing something, it doesn't mean that we're expecting everybody in the family to line up. You have to surround yourself with like-minded people who see life in a healthier light. That might mean I have to go to the family barbecue and only stay 30 minutes and get out of there because I don't want to be the target of whatever they have going on when I've been labeled something because I chose a different lifestyle.
Yes.
So you have to choose healthier things for yourself, and it doesn't always mean that your family is going to agree or support you in that.
And what I always say for that as well, Linda, is that you don't owe anybody an apology, right? If this is a decision I chose to make for myself to better myself because of what I see I don't like, I ain't got to explain it to you. I don't owe you no apology. I ain't got to be rude, right? Like you say, go to the cookout for 30 minutes and bounce out because I want my life to look different, right? And it's okay, but it's getting the courage to do that. And sometimes that's very hard for people as well. So thank you for giving that insight. But more importantly, Marva, thank you for being willing to put that question or that statement in the in the chat. And I think we have another question, Linda, as you were talking about pain polishing. This is the next question that we have. Shante says, could pain polishing be what happens when there isn't trust?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. But Shante, I want to tell you this, that trust was broken somewhere. And until we deal with the root of why I don't trust, we will never be able to move forward and begin to rebuild in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Pain polishing is anytime I show up and it's not my authentic self, but I make it look good like it is myself. Okay. I make it look good. And I'm going to make it real plain. I'm going to make it real plain. This is my book. Come on, somebody.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's called Polished Pain. On this side of the book, on this side of the heart, this is what is the polished side. This is the side that we show the world. This is the side oftentimes that we're experiencing. So in the question that you had, if you're with someone and there is no trust, but I'm showing up to everything and I'm smiling, I'm acting like it's all good, but inside I got anxiety, I'm depressed, I'm frustrated, I'm angry. The mistrust or distrust are the chains that's holding you back. And so you have to begin to deal with this so that this and this looks the same. And if you would notice, there's a crack right here on the polished side. That's because it is only so long that you can look like this on the inside before the outside began to crack. We got to deal with that stuff. We cannot lie and say it is something when it's not. If I don't trust you, we got to deal with that.
And that's having those uncomfortable conversations.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And, you're worthy.
Yes. Yes. You know, I always say in order to have any kind of change, you have to deal with uncomfortable stuff. It's not supposed to feel good. You know, and I'm going to give another analogy as you gave with the heart. Often talk about a file cabinet, right? Very similar in nature in regards to we as people, we're our own file cabinets. We got a lot of things that's inside of us, whether it's our stuff, somebody else's stuff. As we all know, we got file cabinets. We just throw stuff in because we don't want people to see our mess. Right. Let's be real. We don't want people to see our mess. And we keep saying we're going to clean it out. We're going to go to counseling. We're going to talk to someone. And then we don't. Right. And then sometimes what happens is when we finally decide to clean it out, a lot of times we're going to that top drawer because it's easy. It's something that happened yesterday. Somebody that pissed me off yesterday. So I'm going to fix the problem from yesterday because it hurts too much. Oh, hear me out for a second. I'm about to step on somebody's toes. It hurts too much to go down to that bottom drawer because we don't want to hurt our knees. We don't want to hurt our back. But here's the reality. That stuff that's in that bottom drawer is what's really the problem. That's what's really causing us to get overwhelmed, causing us to be depressed, have anxiety. It's all the unpolished things, all the untapped into things, all the unresolved things, all the things that somebody else may have put onto us that we didn't really want to carry. But until we deal with it, our file cabinet is going to still be overwhelmed. Or as you stated, our hearts are going to look exactly like you just put there on the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I want to add some more context to that. I want to add some more context to that. Oftentimes when we go to that top filing cabinet and we only deal with the top cabinet, all of the other stuff is what is pushing the top layer. I'm going to use trust because Shantae was bold enough to ask. If your trust was broken at 10 years old with one of your parents or caretakers, and then at 12, you got a friend and your friend broke your trust. And then at 17, you got a boyfriend and he broke your trust. And then at 25, you got married and your husband or wife broke your trust. You can't just deal with the husband and wife breaking your trust at 25. You got to go back because the husband and wife breaking your trust is only the straw that broke the camel's back.
Uh-oh.
You got to go back. And that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to go all the way back. We want to deal with what happened yesterday. But let me tell you, until you dig out all of that stuff, and understand that I love this person. I love grandma, but grandma broke my trust. I love my cousin, but my cousin broke my trust or my cousin violated me. Whatever your thing is, until you deal with it, it is going to continue to make decisions in your life today.
Yes.
You got to deal with it.
I don't think I could have said it any better. Right. And again, it's going to be uncomfortable. And what Stacey just said is that adult conversations oftentimes don't happen because no one wants to offend or put effort into it. But if you value the person or the relationship, it's very important. I think that's basically what you're saying as well, Linda, that you have to get back to the root and address that issue, regardless of how uncomfortable it may be.
Well, I am saying that. But I also want to say that before we value the relationship with others, baby, we got to value the relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
We fast track it and we want to save the relationship with other people when oftentimes that relationship with ourselves is so broken. That's why I can't stand in the mirror and look at myself and say, girl, you bad. Girl, you beautiful. Girl, I know you done picked up a few pounds, but you still got it going on. Really, right. Getting down to the nitty gritty of it, we have to deal with what do I feel about me? Because sometimes we're getting in these relationships and we're expecting other people to do for us what we are not willing to do for ourselves. Okay?
Yeah.
I can't ask you to love me if I don't love me first. And I'm going to leave that alone because you didn't ask me that question.
Well, I'm going to go ahead into that. So as y'all see, we are live today. So there is no script to this show, right? The show is going to flow how the show is going to flow. But again, we're talking about polishing pain, having these masks on, and it's time to let it go. It's time to really work on ourselves because, again, like you say, until you love yourself, I don't think there's any more I need to say about that. But I just had a conversation with somebody just last week, and they were talking about their relationship and all these expectations they had for this person and why they were upset because the person didn't provide what they was expecting. I said, that's your fault. That ain't the person's fault. You had all these unrealistic expectations of another human being that they may have not even been equipped to provide to you because they may have their own stuff that they ain't never dealt with. You want this person to be a good husband, but did he ever have a daddy in his life to know what a good man's supposed to be like? Right? You want him to show up to be a good daddy, but did he have a good daddy in his life or a male figure in his life that showed him what it was like to be a good man? So because that's what you wanted, I get it. We all want better than what we had. But when we're having all these expectations of folks that we don't even know really what their makeup is, come on now, who's really at fault?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we all come to the table. I don't want to think. I know. We all come to the table with bags. And I want you to accept me and my bags. But I come with all these expectations for you that often I haven't met for myself. Mm-hmm. I have to comment on something Stacey said in the comments, because it's about to eat me alive.
Okay, which one is? I'm gonna go ahead and put it up here.
It's the men as a whole have to start doing things.
There we go.
Because it's definitely in alignment. Stacey says men as a whole have to start doing things like this right here, because we do not have to be strong all the time. I want to talk about being strong all the time for the men and the women, because this is a part of our bags that we're talking about. Being strong says I have to always deny my feelings, my pain, my emotions. I have to show up as if I'm heartless because I got to be strong. We don't have to be strong. We have to be human. And one of the questions I want to ask every person that feels like they have to always be strong and you never give yourself permission to break down, to feel weak, to feel supported, who told you you had to be strong? Who told you that you had to be strong for everybody else? And let me tell you, that too often comes from childhood. I have seen it where women will lose their husbands and tell their 9 and 10-year-old son, you are now the man of the house. That's a setup for that boy.
Yes.
Because at 9 and 10, number one, I'm not a man. And number two, I cannot handle responsibilities of a man. So when you go back, you ask yourself, who told me I had to be strong? And I don't mean always verbally. Sometimes it was taught to you by the person who raised you because they were always strong. And so we put this weight on ourselves that we can't crack. We can't show up and cry. Let me tell you, the wrong day at the wrong time, you go get the ugly cry from me. I am not strong. I'm human. Okay.
Yes.
Strong is killing us. And when you carry all this unprocessed pain and this weight, it's causing things like heart problems and hypertension. We have to stop being strong and be human.
Listen, you said nothing but a word, and I'm going to be honest with you, right? I almost got tears in my eyes, and this ain't no joke, because I remember when my baby passed, right? I remember when my son passed away, and I had to be real. I had to be real with myself, and I got to be real with my audience. There's many times I am walking around trying to be strong for everybody else, and on the inside, sometimes I'm cracking, right? Let's be real, right? Let's be real, folks. But I remember when my son passed, and it was the hardest damn death I've ever faced in my whole entire life. Now, excuse me on a Sunday for all my church folks for saying a cuss word, but I'm going to just be real and authentic with you, right? But I remember my sister looked at me because they were so used to me carrying the weight of all the other deaths that had occurred in my life. 2 years prior to my son passing, I had lost my significant other, and I had to figure out how to remain strong for my kids and all the things. And when she looked at me and said, sis, you got to be strong, I looked at her and I said, no. I have to be human. That's it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
This is the first death I've ever had of losing a kid. And you're going to tell me I have to be strong? Girl, bye. And I don't know if she listens, sis. I love you. I'm going to always love you. But it's about knowing what to say to folks and what not to say to folks.
Yeah.
Telling someone to be strong is putting a lot on a person they may not truly be able to handle. So they're trying to hold on to this expectation that somebody else have of them.
Yes.
And they're sitting in their house and they're crying.
Yes.
They're drinking. They're going to a therapist trying to figure out what does that really mean? Because this is a lot of pressure, but somebody is expecting me to show up and be strong. Stop telling folks to be strong because you're disrespecting them. They may not have the capacity. Hold on. Hear me out.
Yes.
They may not have the capacity to be strong. That's your definition. That's your wish.
Yes.
It may not be their desire. Hello. I'm out.
Yes. And let me say this. Being strong looks different for everyone.
Yes.
Okay. I can be strong and cry.
Mm-hmm.
I can be strong and say, I can't do this right now. You don't get to determine what my strong looks like. When we tell people, and since we're talking about losses, physical losses, and I hear people say it all the time, you got to be strong for your kids, or you got to be strong. Your mama would expect you to be strong. I have lost a part of my heart, and you're telling me that I can't cry? You're telling me that I can't scream? You're telling me that I can't fall on my knees in pain? Well, what you're really telling me is to polish my pain. And to show up as something that I'm not. And let me tell you, when we polish pain, we stuff that pain inside of us. We were never built to carry all of this unprocessed pain. We were meant to experience it and then go through it, not get stuck in it. So for all those people who feel like you've had to carry the weight, and you have not been able to show up as your authentic self. And I don't mean authentic self as in pretty and makeup. No, no, no. I mean, feel what you feel when you're feeling it. Today, I want you to really start practicing, giving yourself permission to show up, be human. And whether it looks strong to somebody else or not, it doesn't even matter. Because this is your journey. And I give you permission to pause and prioritize you, how you're feeling, and what you need in that moment.
So we have Lynn, we have Lakendra. I'm sorry. She says, being strong says I have to deny my feelings and I have to deny myself. Right on. Yeah. I like that.
Yes. Yes. And that means I put you first.
Yes.
I put you above me. Yes. I put you above me. There is something else I want to make sure. I don't know where the time is going. But
we're good. My clock, we're good. We flow with it. We flow with it.
There is something else I want to make sure that I talk about with the listeners. A lot of the times when we talk about pain, when we talk about wearing a mask, when we talk about healing, we always think of those things that were done to us. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that people understand that inner pain isn't always loud. Sometimes the pain that you're feeling is not trauma. It's not abuse. It's the thing that I didn't get that I needed. Mm-hmm. It's what didn't happen that needed to happen. It's the being overlooked. It's the being unsupported. It's the being abandoned. It's the being neglected. So when you begin to process and look at what is really the root of what I'm feeling, I don't want you to always look at what somebody did to you, but I also want you to consider what you didn't get that also left pain in your heart that needs to be processed.
Yes. So for our new listeners, Linda, I see we have some other folks that have joined us since we have started. Just want to go ahead and catch you all up to speed. Today, we're talking about the mask that we wear, understanding and healing from our inner pain. And we have Linda, who is a psychotherapist as well as an author. And Linda is talking about the polishing of the pain. And for my new listeners, my new followers, all the things, go ahead and shed it all, right? Like an onion. Go ahead and peel off the layers because we're about to make you feel uncomfortable. We're going to step on your toes. We're going to do it all. But I always say that in order to get to a place of comfort, you have to go in the arena. That arena is that uncomfortable zone that most folks don't like to go in because it hurts. But again, if you want to make a change, you got to step there. You got to be willing to fight that opponent. And that opponent is that person that's holding you down. A lot of times it's that person on the inside that you're putting a mask over. And so Linda, I'm gonna go ahead and turn it back over to you, but I just wanted to at least welcome our guests that have joined us at this time. And I know that I see some sorors that are joining too. So for all my sorors out there, the women of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, thank you for supporting us today. And I must say, Linda is also one of our sorors as well. So Linda, one of the questions I want to ask you, yes. One of the questions I want to ask you as we're talking about, trauma, we're talking about the pain. How could one begin to identify that some of the behaviors that they are exhibiting are from those areas that we have discussed, the unhealed child or the mask in which you're wearing? How do they begin to identify that those are possibly symptoms that they're displaying?
I think one of the realest things you can do is unplug and ask yourself, is how I show up to the world, does it align with how I feel on the inside? I'm going to say that again. How I show up to the world, does it align with how I feel on the inside? I'm going to give you a couple of questions that I want you to, you can jot them down, you can put them in your phone, whatever you want to do, but it's going to help you begin to identify some of this. The first one is, what part of yourself have you had to hide just to be accepted? Uh-oh.
I'm putting this in the chat.
Is there a part of you, what part of yourself have you had to hide just to be accepted? Because that's polishing, when we have to hide who we truly are. You know, it would be very easy for me to give you the status quo answers of, oh, you're eating too much or you're doing this. No. I want to take a different angle today. And I want to go deeper and I want to give you some things that I want you to consider so that you're not operating and saying, no, I don't do that, I don't do that. I want you to really consider some of these things. Another one is, what part of your life or skill set is your gift, but it's also the thing that brings you grief because it's draining you? It's the thing that everybody calls you for. It's your gift, but it's also your grief. It's draining you. And I'll give you a really quick example. If you are the big supporter in the family or in your friend group, you do it well. You do it, it's second nature. You don't even think twice about it. But when you are supporting everybody all the time, it is going to drain you. And you got to put some boundaries around that. You got to protect that gift. But I want you to identify, what is that gift that you have that everybody calls on you for, but at the end of the day, it is also draining you. The next one is, if your mask could talk, what would it say you've been carrying? If your mask, the mask you wear, it may be I'm a CEO. And every time you see me, I'm well put together. I drive the finest car. I make the big money. I live in the best house. If that CEO mask could talk, what would it say you're carrying on the inside of you? The next one is, how many people in your life really support you? Not the person who buys all the drinks at the party, at the bar. No. They just support you. How many people? And then I want you to compare it to the number of people that you support. If you have one person supporting you, but you're supporting 800, that's an imbalance. And somewhere there is some pain polishing.
You didn't step on somebody's toes as they're writing. I'm just here to tell you. Because those are some deep questions. I think that, I'm just being serious, Linda. I'm just being serious. I think those are some deep questions that all of us probably have answered, whether we answered it actually or not, right? Because we've all fallen in one of those categories, may still be falling in those categories. So here's my question to you. Somebody had been able to say, uh-oh, that's me. I've done one, two, three, four, all. Talk to them about that, Linda. You're a psychotherapist. Okay. Talk to them about, once they identify these things, now what?
I want you to be real with yourself, because that's really where it's going to start. And I want you to prioritize your needs, because that's the second step. First, you got to identify, I'm not as well as I have pretended to be. I'm out here in these streets and I'm pretending. The second one is, I have to prioritize myself enough to do something about it. The third thing is, what is it, the area where you have a deficit, what is it you need? What do you need that will fill that deficit? It would be very easy for me to give you a laundry list. You are the only person who can identify what you genuinely need. When we talk about self-care and self-nurturing, I can't tell you what's going to fill your cup this week. Only you can do that. So identify, this is an area of depletion in my life. And I want you to look at what are the things that's going to fill it, but put it on the calendar and actually start doing it. And you don't have to do traditional things. I'm going to give you an example. When I was going through my divorce, I remember feeling like I was just giving and serving everybody else, because I'm a therapist. So people came to me to be served. So one of the things I did was, I needed to be served. So every week on my calendar, I took myself to dinner with nobody else. Because had somebody else come, I would have had to engage with them and it would not have been solely about me. So when the person came to the table, Guess who they came to the table for? Me. When they served me, I felt seen, heard. I felt like my needs were getting met. I would go and get a full body massage once a week because I needed to be taken care of. And I needed to do it in a healthy way. Why am I sharing this? Because we get caught up in these file drawers and we only want to do it the way society says we need to do it. For me, sometimes it was saying, I'm not going to brunch with anybody because I don't want to give to you. I need this week or this weekend to give to myself. So you have to ask yourself, not only where am I depleted, but also what do I need? Something else I want to mention, I want you to explore what are your beliefs around continuing to give at the level or show up at the level that you are. Because sometimes it's not that we don't know what to do or how to do, it's the belief that holds us hostage. And I'm going to give you a quick example. If you believe that everything you're doing has to always be done to perfection by you because nobody else can do it the way you do it, it's not the other person that's hurting you because they're not doing it the way you want it to be done. Guess what? It's your belief system that is holding you hostage. And that's why you're doing all the things you're doing that's wearing you down. And so in your mind, you're saying, my family doesn't care. They don't show up. They don't do it this way. Or my staff doesn't do it this way. It's not them. It's your belief system. So that would be the other thing. Check your belief system and make sure that it is a healthy belief system. And it aligns.
Now, Linda, let me ask a question in regards to that alongside of it being the belief system. Could it also be a possibility of it being a trauma response based upon having lack of trust of how you was raised? 100%. And so you couldn't depend upon mama. You couldn't depend upon your daddy. Daddy said he was coming. Mama said he was coming. They didn't show up. Boyfriend said he was going to do and they didn't. So now you're like, you know what? I can do it by myself. I know if somebody fail me, it's going to be me. It ain't going to be nobody else. Yes. Right. So I think, too, that's important to know that as it is a belief, but it's the belief of I can do it better by myself because I don't trust somebody else. Yes. So trust and control. Yes. Lack of trust and control.
Something is fueling the belief. It started somewhere. Yes. It didn't just show up one day. Yes. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. So now, I'm about to hurt some people's feelings on this Sunday, but I'm going to go ahead into a conversation that I know you and I had prior to this episode today. Somebody left church at 1 o'clock. Somebody left church at 11. Somebody was in their bed watching church today. And somebody may even be trying to do multitasking and listen to an old episode. But Linda, you talked about a subject that I'm sure people in here can feel, have been through, and that's church hurt. Take us there, because I know you talked about that, and we talked about that before, right? About how church hurt shows up.
It's in the book. It's in the book. Church hurt is people hurt, but it happened at church. For the person who doesn't know what church hurt is, I am a woman of faith. I am a believer. I am a Christian. I don't want anybody to get it twisted because I'm speaking truth. But churches are made of people, and sometimes people in the church cause hurt and pain to the people that are in the church. We hurt each other. Okay, let me put myself in there. It's not always intentional, and sometimes the person doesn't even know that they're doing it. But it still doesn't diminish the fact that the hurt happened. Okay. Sometimes we do it because that's what we've been taught to do. And one of the things I talk about in my book is when I was going through my divorce in my 20s, I was devastated. I was broken. I didn't understand why it happened. I didn't understand why my husband cheated with his secretary. It broke me. Okay. And the first person I went to was my pastor. And my pastor listened to me. Y'all, let me tell you, y'all talking about being strong. It wasn't nothing about me that day that resembled strength. Okay. When I tell you I was in that man's office snotting, like I did the ugly cry times 10 because I was broken. And when I got myself together enough to hear the words of wisdom he had for me, he said, "You're going to be all right. There are more fish in the sea." And it broke me even further. It hurt. And as if that wasn't enough, when I went to choir rehearsal with the women that I sing the good gospel songs with, I walked in and heard them gossiping and having great conversation about my marriage that had broken. And so I walked away confused, because this is where I'm supposed to come to get support and to have community and to have a safe space. But it taught me a lot of things. And I'm going to share with those of you who are listening, who have experienced church hurt. Put your faith in God, not in the people in the church. Just like people in the world can hurt you, people in the church can hurt you. I put people on a pedestal in my 20s. Because I had an ideology, I was taught that I should hold them at a higher standard. And I'm not saying that I shouldn't expect greatness. I should.
Right.
However, I should also allow them to be human, because they too are hurting in a lot of senses. And so if there's anything that I can say is, if you have experienced hurt from someone in a church, don't walk away from your faith. Yes. That person hurt you. They don't represent God. They don't represent who you believe in. Get some therapy. And you don't have to get Christian therapy. Get you some therapists. Get you a good therapist who's going to be honest, who's going to walk with you, who's going to support you, and who's going to help you walk through that pain so that you can heal. Healing is available to you.
It's real. It's real.
Yes, it is.
Well, this is what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to act like we're on a real TV show. We're going to take a commercial break, right? And this is what we do during this commercial break. We go ahead and open up the floor to some more questions, right? Because we want to be able to continuously engage with our audience. And I must say, I've done a lot of live episodes. And I want to thank all of my guests that have come to my live episodes and my followers. But this here episode right here, let me tell you, it's probably one of the top ones, because we have a lot of engagement in this episode, which means that you are releasing some of the mask off people's face because they're opening up about what's going on. And so I see that Stacy says, let's also have a conversation with that person if it's okay to have adult conversations, even with church people. So again, it's just about being open, being transparent, telling people how you feel. And you ain't got to be nasty to tell somebody how you feel, but you got to get it off your chest, because here's the reality. This is what I always say. When you hold on to something, somebody done pissed you off, made you mad, you hold on to it, that person gone on about their business, right? They probably didn't even realize they made you mad, all the different stuff, and you still holding on to it, putting something else in your file cabinet. So I agree with you, Stacy. Like, it's important to have these conversations. Let people know when they hurt you, because that's how you begin to release some of the stress that you're having with yourself, or on yourself, should I say. But like I say, we're going to take a commercial break, quote unquote, to lead this opportunity for, to allow this opportunity for guests to go ahead and ask some questions. Again, if anybody wishes to come on live on this particular episode as a guest right now, we can also bring you on to the stage live with us right now. But I'd like to take this moment to just do a self-reflection. A lot of great things have been said today. We may have some folks that's in their house right now crying because this has touched somebody today. So we want to give them that moment to regroup, come back, Let's keep it going. Again, I know Linda asked me, you know, what's the time frame? I'm here to tell you, on my live episodes, we just go. Whatever the spirit is, that's what we go with, right? I've had some live episodes that's only an hour. I've had some to go a little bit longer. So while this episode is engaging, I wouldn't dare stop it because somebody's mask right now, Linda, they starting to pull back. And so while they're pulling it back, I need you to keep talking to them, right? I need you to keep giving them the strength to know that it is okay to say that I carried this mask for this amount of time, but today I'm breaking the chain and I'm letting it go. I'm going to begin to heal. And again, healing is not easy. It's uncomfortable. It's scary, right? It's very scary because as you know, and I know, Linda, if who we are is who we've been for all these years, whether we liked who we was looking at or not in the mirror, that's who we become accustomed to. And so it's very scary sometimes to even start to do something different, especially if it's what your family has always done.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think, go ahead, Linda. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you for a second. I see that you were about to say something.
I was going to add to that and say sometimes our mask has become our identity. And what has happened is we have normalized the pain and accepted that this is just how life is and it doesn't have to be. Sometimes it's very scary to truly be seen for who you are. I mean, truly who you are. And that doesn't mean you have to air all of your dirty laundry. You have to go and tell everybody the painful experiences you've had. Just like people fear not being enough. Sometimes people fear being too much. And we dumb ourselves down. We shrink to fit into this mold that other people have created for us. And so when we talk about the mask becoming our identity, and that's kind of what Lakeisha was alluding to, it's become what people know us by. We have to stand in that fear and face it and say, the freedom that I will experience on the other side of this healing is so much better than what I have experienced. You see, when we talk about polished pain, it's not always bad because sometimes life doesn't allow us to process that pain in the moment because we got to pay the bills. We got to raise the children. We got to go to work. You know, I remember carrying my pain and polishing it because I was a therapist and I needed to show up for the children I was seeing every day that had been abused. But you cannot allow that polishing and carrying all that pain to become your norm. You have to pause at some point and process it because when you don't process it, it becomes your prison. And so I say to you, no matter how long you have worn your mask, healing does not require us to be perfect and to have it all together. It requires us to be honest. And that's what I urge you to do today. Be honest with yourself first, because that's where it really matters.
Yes. And I think with that, we have Shantae. I'll put her response on the screen for everybody to see and as well as for us. It says, I've experienced church hurt more than once. I'm a spiritual person, but having a hard time finding a church home because I've lost faith in the church itself and not my belief. And I think that is probably a lot of people's answer, a lot of people's response, a lot of people's fear, right? A lot of people may not open up to say this because they don't want people to look at them differently. And so thank you, Shantae, for being so transparent and authentic yourself to be able to put this in an open chat with strangers whom you don't know. And so, Linda, I will turn this over to you to even speak about that if you so choose.
Yeah, it is difficult to sometimes reconnect, but I'm wondering, and I don't know your journey and your story, sometimes the pain we carry that hasn't been processed will lead us to choose the same kind of church, just like the same kind of relationship. You know, sometimes you find yourself dating the same guy with a different name. Sometimes we're drawn to the same kind of congregation because there is something we see or we believe they offer. And so I would say, getting some help to process that, to really understand what is it that happened at each of these, at each of these places that has hurt you and impacted you in a way that it's created a fear or a boundary or anxiety around connecting again. I believe it's a little deeper. And sometimes when we've experienced it, the pain is so, so deep that we just don't want to go there again. And I get it. I get it. That's why sometimes after people have experienced bad relationships, they just choose, I'm just going to be single the rest of my life because it's so painful. But I ask you to find you someone, a therapist, who will process that with you and really unpack what have those experiences been like. And you may only do online services for now, and that's okay. That's okay, because this is not just about being connected to a church. You said you hadn't lost your faith. That's the bigger picture, and I applaud you for that. Because some people lose the church family and their faith. But hang in there. Hang in there. I believe that the congregation that will support you the way you need to be supported, it's out there.
Yeah. Do we have any other questions before we get to the bottom half of today's episode? We still got a little bit more to go, but I want to keep the questions rolling or the comments coming. Linda, I do know in the chat, Stacey, I think the link, we may want to put that back in there again.
Okay. I'll put it in there.
So again, this is Heart to Heart with Keisha B. As you know, we talk about grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. And one of the things that we talked about when we first started the podcast today is that oftentimes when people think of grief, they just think of death, right? But as we know, grief goes way beyond that. Grief is a magnitude of things, whether it's a loss of job, a loss of relationship, and a loss of self. And I think that's why we're here today, is that so often people are wearing masks because either they have lost themselves, they've never identified themselves, or they're just walking around being who other people want them to be. And so, as I stated early on in the episode, we have Linda with us, who is a psychotherapist as well as an author, and she has brought nothing but gems today. And so we're going to continue on with this episode of Heart to Heart with Keisha B. And so as we talk about church hurt, one of the things I want to ask you, Linda, is how can communities, both faith-based and secular, become safer, more compassionate spaces for people that are navigating trauma?
I think one of the things we have to understand is everybody has a different journey. And when we create these boxes that we try to put people in, that is one of the things that hurt people, because we don't fit in a box. My experience and your experience could look very similar, but they are very different. Understanding that trauma makes me feel unsafe. So if you're going to do anything for me, you have to make me feel safe and supported. Yes. I think being open to have those conversations that are taboo. We don't talk about mental health on a level that we should. Churches, schools, organizations, everybody needs some level of training in how to engage with people, because mental health is not just about somebody having a diagnosis. It's not about someone with schizophrenia or psychosis. We all have mental health. Yes. And we all need mental wellness. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so with the more you understand that we're all impacted on some level, and it doesn't have to be this deep dive where your staff has to be trained for the next 20 days on mental health, but having a basic one-on-one training and understanding. There is a chapter in my book where I actually give some pointers to churches, and I'm going to pull that up by the time you call on me again so that I can share. Did you catch that?
I caught that. Take your time. I think while you're doing some deep diving, right, Marva says that we do not give enough attention to mental health and often re-traumatize. And Marva, you are exactly right, right? Like we've made ourselves as a culture believe that because it looks wrong, people believe it's wrong that we don't talk about it, right? But I think Linda brought up something that's very important. Everybody that's on this call, everybody that's not listening because they were afraid they were going to get uncomfortable, somebody's going to step on their toes, I'm going to still find a way to get you to listen to it, but it is what it is, right? We're all dealing with mental health issues.
Yes.
Here's the reality. Yes, on some are genetic, right? Some are genetic. Mm-hmm. Some are circumstantial, right? If something happened to one of our family folks today, something happened to your dog, there's a possibility mm-hmm. you can go to a state of depression. So let's stop mm-hmm. overlooking what's really going on mm-hmm. in my home, your neighbor's home, as they say. Stop trying to look in somebody else's backyard when your hot dog's on your grill is burnt. Oh, fix that.
Well, okay then.
I mean, it is what it is, right? So we have to stop trying to avoid the conversation of mm-hmm. mental health because it's real. Yes. When you avoid it, you're not going to try to do anything to address it. So I'm assuming, Linda, that you found that page in your book. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you.
I did. I think it's so important that we have these conversations. And while in the book, I address it to church leaders, it's actually for leaders everywhere in whatever capacity you're in. And these are five quick tips, you know, that I give leaders. The first one is normalize pain in your messaging, whether your message is a sermon, a training, because polishing pain happens in many, many sectors. And I'm going to give you a quick example before I give you the other four tips. When you go into church, if you've had a terrible week, your light's about to get cut off, your children got suspended for school, you walk into the church. We have been conditioned. If I'm the usher at the door and I say, well, hello, Sister Lakeisha, how are you today? What have you been trying to say, Lakeisha?
I'm fine. I'm good. God bless you.
I'm blessed
mm-hmm.
and highly favored. Come on, somebody. Yeah. In the chat box, y'all don't leave me out here by myself. And that is pain polishing. Come on. It's pain mm-hmm. polishing. At work, you could have lost a loved one that is very close to you. They're going to give you those 3 days and then they're going to have you come back to work and pretty much tell you to leave your grief at the front door. That's pain polishing because mm-hmm. I'm hurting. Now, I'm not saying go to work and have a breakdown, but I am saying give me space, right, a safe space where I can be. And so this is why I say, number one, normalize the pain. See, the listeners got it. They like blessed and highly favored.
Blessed and highly favored. That means I ain't walking to enough doors. God, you done called me out. I ain't walking to enough doors, but it's okay. Oh, God. But anyway, we ain't going to go there.
The second one is model vulnerability in leadership. Leaders are human beings. We have to model that we too are vulnerable. We have to be able to connect with each other from a human to a human, not just a leader and a subordinate. The next one is create safe spaces. There are organizations that have wellness rooms where if you're having a rough day, you can disconnect and go to that wellness room and take you a few minutes to get yourself together and take care of your mental health. The next one is destigmatize mental health. There are organizations where if you're out because you have a mental health concern, everybody is whispering. No, We have to destigmatize that. And the last one is reframe strength, which we talked about earlier. Teach that true strength isn't the absence of pain, but the courage to face it and the willingness to seek help. That's true strength. And so those are my five top things that I would recommend when we're in that position.
Yeah. You know, I often say this too, Linda, when let's talk about people being afraid to cry, right? Whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl, because they've been told they had to be strong. What I always say is this: if it wasn't meant for you to cry, you wouldn't have tears. Number one. That's number good. Two. Yeah. Number two, you holding on to the tears and not letting them out is only making you weak. So if you're really trying to exhibit this sign of being strong, release those tears, because the weakness, I mean, the tears that you're holding in is causing more stress for you. It's causing you to get a little bit more overwhelmed because you're not releasing what it is that you're really going through. Tears is an opportunity to release the stress. Release whatever is going on here. Release the emotion. So again, I'm going to advise each and every one of you all, don't worry about who's looking at you, whether you're in your car, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, at work, whatever. If you got to cry, let it out.
Cry.
Crying is normal. We're supposed to cry unless your tears is clogged up. Other than that, tears are meant to be released. Releasing your tears will release your pain. And that would give you the strength that you're trying to hold on to. And that's my advice.
Yeah. And I would recommend that if you don't have a safe space where you can cry, where you can go in and check in with yourself, create that safe space. When I was going through a very tough time and I did not feel like I had a safe space, I would get in the bottom of my closet every night at the end of the day. And I would release, because that has to come out. Okay. It has to come out. It has to be processed. And so you need a safe space. If that's the park, there's a mama that I talked to recently, and she said hers is sitting in her garage after work. And her children know when mom comes into the garage, but she does not come through that back door. Don't you open that back door, because that's her time to process, decompress. If she needs to cry, she cry, whatever it is. So you have to create that safe space for yourself first, and then advocate at work. And if you need some help, I speak to organizations. Come on, somebody.
Go ahead and put that plug out there. It's funny
for my leaders.
It's funny that you say that, Stacey. I'm sorry, Stacey. I'm watching Stacey's message. It's funny that you say that, Linda, because so my sister, I have two sisters. Two of them live right up the street, but one often drives up and down the street. And she said, I see that you're out there in your mobile office again, because after my son passed away, my car became that safe space for me. Right. My car became that place where I had to think, I had to cry. But let me also say, in some capacity, it became unhealthy. And let me tell you why. Because I had another child in the home that sometimes he didn't see his mother cry because she was sitting in the car crying. So I had to come into the house and put on this face, because now I had to go into being mama again. All the things that you had to go back into being when you were a grieving parent that sometimes causes additional stress as well, because you're trying to show up to be somebody that moment you don't have the capacity to be. Right. Like, I had the title to be mama. Somebody told me I had to be responsible to be mama. But where I was mentally some days, I didn't have the capacity to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there lies another layer of stress. So many times I would sit in my car. So now it's become a habit. Right. Many people laugh at me. My friend used to say, Honda needs to pay you, because every time you do a TikTok, you in your car and all we see is Honda. And she didn't understand that was my safe space. That was this place where I was able to relax. That was the place where I was able to cry. That was the place I was able to gain a sense of clarity. That was where I began some of my healing. But also it became unhealthy at times, because my son never saw those aspects of me too. So he didn't see that these reactions are part of grief, you know? And so you do have to be careful. I had to be careful with myself, but back to the safe space. My car became my safe space. So anybody who watched me and you see Keisha B in her car, I may be dealing with a safe space, or I may just want to give out a message. I don't know. But either way, it became a habit for me to sit in my car. So what you're saying is just finding that space for you.
And it's important for parents to know, not that you want to burden your children with your adult issues, but it is important for them to know that, wow, mom cries too. So I can cry. It gives them permission to be human. If we don't ever see the people raising us teach us how to handle stress, pain, overwhelm, grief, disappointment, then we leave your house and go into the world and we find other ways to handle it because we were never taught how to handle it in a healthy way.
And Linda, as you were talking, someone came on. Shay actually said, when we were talking about safe spaces, Shay said, I wait for my kids to go to sleep when I cry so loud just to release that hurt. Wow. So yeah. Shay, I'm going to say, because I know who you are, right? And I know I just said that there's times I sat in my car and I cried. Crying is normal. It doesn't make you a weak mom. It doesn't make you a bad mom. It lets your kids see the emotion. And here's the reality. They may want to cry too, but you may be teaching them that it's not okay to cry.
Yes. Yes. That's so good. So to every mama, thank you for Shay for being bold enough to say it. But for every mama, for every daddy, I give you permission to release whatever that is pent up in you. And I know parents that will fight their face if their kid comes around and they're crying. No, invite them in, educate them and say, I am crying. Right now I'm sad. I'm hurt. Dad left or mama said this and it hurt my feelings. I'm human. And sometimes you're going to cry in life and that's okay too. We have to know when we talk about normalizing this stuff, this is how we begin to normalize it and change the unhealthy cycles that we have lived and held true to for so long.
It goes back to this conversation. I'm about to step on some older folks' toes, right? My mama, my daddy, all them folks who told me sometimes to stay in a child's place. And I know we all have been told that, right? But sometimes, let me say it. Sometimes staying in that child's place didn't really teach us how to be an adult to some degree, right? And somebody may say, where are you going with that, right? And so I'm going to do a self-disclosure for a second. I raised my kids to stay in a kid's place, right? I raised my kids that what was going on in their home, a lot of times they didn't know. About to step on somebody's toes, and I don't know whose toes I'm going to step on. I'm probably about to step on mine too. But here we go. There was a time in my life to where I was married. Okay. And I knew all the things I had been through in my relationship as a girlfriend, as the other woman, hear me out. Okay. As the other woman, the woman that's chasing that want this man to then get married, knowing darn well who the person was, but it's because of what I wanted. I wanted to get married because I thought that's what I needed because I didn't have my mom in my life. I didn't have my daddy in my life. So I wanted my kids to have this two-parent home because I thought that was the perfect thing to do. Okay. Now, what happens is, and I'm going to take some ownership. I'm not going to blame the individual because there's people out here who may know him. So I'm definitely not talking about him. I'm talking about me. What my daughter saw was that when our relationship dissolved, because she didn't know all the other things I had been through for all those years, all she saw was that one day my daddy was here and then my daddy was gone because I never put my kid in my adult business. But then what happens is, let's talk about generational stuff. If I ask her now, what does a healthy relationship look like for her? She may not know because all she knows is that when somebody pissed me off one time, they gone because that's what I taught her.
That's good.
Right. Because I didn't put her in adult business. She didn't see me crying. She didn't see me angry. She didn't see me upset until the relationship was over. So we have to be careful when we talk about when we start pulling back all those old ideologies that our family folks gave us about keeping the kids in the place. And don't get me wrong. There's some things the kids don't need to see. They don't need to see you rolling up and all that other stuff. All right. Step on somebody's toes, insert. But they need to understand that when there's a relationship that you're in, if it's not working, they have to be able to see some of those things too, so they'll know how to work through their own relationships when they get older. And that's all I'm going to say about that, Linda, is that we have to be careful of the generational things that we we put into our kids, thinking that we're protecting them from adult stuff, we may be affecting their adult life.
Yes. And I think one of the things, first of all, no judgment on this call at all, because we all got some bags. But I think one of the healthy ways that we can manage what do we say or what do we allow them to be a part of is, what is the lesson I want them to learn? I may not even go into detail of what the other person did or what I did, but I would like to say, instead of lying and saying, oh, he's at work, it's okay to say, right now we're taking some time because we're not able to get along and it's unhealthy for us. And we're just trying to decide if this is going to work out for us. That allows the child to see, wait a minute. So sometimes adults don't get along either and they need time. So when Keisha is talking about putting them, allowing them to be in an adult business, it's not saying, let me tell you what I caught him doing. He was XYZ, but it's really packaging it in a way that your kiddo can learn and grow from it so that they're not in the position where they have no idea when they themselves are in that position.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Linda, as we are trudging along, I'm going to use that word. I see that Marva said we listen and we don't judge. And Marva, you're exactly right. Because again, we've talked about a lot today on Heart to Heart with Keisha B. We've given some call of actions. Linda has provided some questions that she's asked you all to answer for yourself. Now, if you wanted to answer them in the chat, that's perfectly fine. But ultimately, this is for you to do a self-reflection, even in that quiet space that you go to, wherever that may be, or wherever you may now establish that to be able to pull back the layers, again, like an onion, pull back the mask, take off the eyebrows, take off the eyelashes, take off the front laces, take off the designer clothes, take it all off, and go back to who you were designed to be, and ask yourself, how do I get back to that person, right? Or how do I even get to that person that I never once knew? And you may have to redefine that person, right? You may have to redefine that person, because sometimes we can't help it how we was raised. We can't help it who our family folks was because we didn't ask for them. Let's be real, right? Yeah. But you can begin to define who you want to be. One of the things I often say, Linda, is that, and you and I talked about this before we got on today live, your book doesn't have to shut right here at this chapter. You don't have to close the book right now. Pull out the pen. Pull out the word processor, typewriter. I went all the way back to the 70s. I'm not sure what you're using. WordPerfect, whatever. And begin to write a new chapter for your book. That hard copy don't have to close. You don't have to seal that book up right now. Rewrite your story, because you do have a story to share. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you, Linda.
Well, I just want to say a final thought. Survival and healing are not the same. Just because you made it through, you made it out of the situation, it doesn't mean you're whole. You lost a part of you. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means that some things happened and I need to tend to them. I need to give them some attention. So whatever area of your life you might be surviving in, give it some attention. We are complex beings. I can be great in one area and very broken and in pain in another area. Faith and pain can coexist. Okay? Prospering and dying can coexist, because there are more than one areas that we have. And so I just want to encourage you to unplug long enough to give yourself some attention, to assess where you are, what you've been through on your journey, and where you want to go. And know that the best truly is yet to come, but there is work we have to do to get there. Just because it's always been that way doesn't mean it always has to be that way.
Exactly. So there's a question in the chat from Shantae. She says, Linda talked early on different types of grief. In my readings, I've heard of good grief. What are your thoughts?
Good grief? I do think there is good grief, but when I talk about different types of grief, we got the grief coach on the call. I don't want to take over, but I will.
No, you say, go ahead. You go ahead.
We have something that is called traumatic grief. You can grieve from the loss of a pet. You can grieve from, let's say you have a woman who desired to have children, but she never got pregnant. That's a form of grief, the thing that you never attain. So it's not always connected to the loss of an actual person. Anytime you lose something, it could be anything, there usually is some level of grief that is attached to that. Even good things, and this is probably what the good grief is. If you have worked as a teacher for 20 years, and then you get promoted to the district office, you're going to grieve what you lost. But that could be, for some people, good grief, because you have now elevated to a different level. But it could also backfire for some people and not be so good. I've known people to have to go back to positions that they had served in because they were grieving the old place so hard. I hope that answered your question.
I'll wait to see if Shante responds in the chat first before we move on. Did that answer your question, Shante? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
I'm going to put you on the spot, but not to put you on the spot.
Not to put you on the spot.
This has been so good. I'm so glad you invited me. I'm so glad we could coordinate schedules and hang out and share. I hope that there is something that I have said that helps your listeners along their journey. Life is a journey. And healing, I do want to say this while Shante is answering. Healing is not just about going to therapy, just about taking medicine, just about going to church or praying. There are so many parts of healing. Healing is also about laughing. Healing is also about unplugging and doing absolutely nothing and resting. Mm-hmm. Healing is about having hobbies that bring you joy. There are so many components to healing. And so I don't want you all to get stuck in, I have to go to therapy. I have to get a coach. I have to take medicine. I have to do this. I have to take a 3-day vacation. No, no, no. Go back to where you depleted and what do you need to fill your cup?
Yes. All right, Linda, I have maybe two more questions if it's okay, because I want to close out with wrapping up everything that you've said today. So my question to you is that, what advice, as we're leaving today, do you have for someone who wants to start unmasking their pain, but is afraid of what they may find?
You've done hard things before. You've done scary things before. And just like you've done them before, you can do this. You are worth it. When you're unmasking, the person who's going to get the most benefit, it's you. Wearing a mask is a form of chains. It keeps you bound. But the moment you release the mask, there's a level of freedom that's waiting for you on the other side. And I want you to know that you're worth it. Go through it. Get the support you need to walk through it. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to start a new service called The Journey of Polished Pain. Get the support you need to walk your journey, whatever that looks like. For some people, it's a coach. For some people, it's a therapist. For some people, it's a good friend who will hold that safe space for you. But I would say do it, because you deserve it.
Yes, that is a heart to heart. And so as we are wrapping up this episode of this week of Heart to Heart with Keisha B, one of the things that I would like for Linda to do, I know that she has shared the link that you all can find her book. There was a question that was asked if you do teletherapy. And so what we would like to do at this part of the episode is that could you please give us an overview of where one can find you, whether you do teletherapy or not. I know that you have social media, all the different things. Could you share who you are and how people can continue to follow you?
So my name is Linda Carmouche. I am the best-selling author of Polished Pain, The Cost of Burnout and Unresolved Trauma. Whether we deal with the mask or not, we're paying a cost every day. You can find me on all social media platforms at Linda Carmouche. That is LyndaCarmouche. You can also find me at my, on my website at www.lyndacarmouche.com. And if you DM me, ask me some questions. I like to have a conversation with you. I like to engage with you. If you have some questions, holler at me and I can let you know what I can do. And if it's something I can't do, I can definitely refer you to someone who can.
All right, everyone. So again, I want to thank everyone that has listened to us and that have engaged in this conversation. So I must say, if you're seeking support from someone who can help you rediscover your purpose, reconnect with your heart, and rebuild your life while honoring the legacy of your child that you love so deeply, I am, again, Lakeisha Baron Brown, therapist, grief coach, and host of Heart to Heart with Keisha B. Again, I am a mother who understands your pain. I have the heart to guide you as you move forward through your grief and healing journey. I want to say again, thank you to those who have supported Heart to Heart with Keisha B. As I always say, if you are a new listener, thank you so much for listening, engaging today. If you are a returning guest, as always, thank you for your continuous support. As always, you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. So as always, continue to follow us, continue to engage, leave comments in the section here, in this comment section, as well as other content that I may post, throughout the week, as always. As you know, my episodes on a regular basis are released on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock a.m. My live episodes are on Sunday. So I just ask that if you continue to follow, then you will always be updated when the next episode happens. But as always, I want to thank you for following and supporting Heart to Heart with Keisha B. I hope that you have been uncomfortable today. I hope that you will release that mask and make a change for your life because you deserve it. Have a great day. Thank you for tuning in to Heart with Keisha B. Remember, grief may shape our journey, but it doesn't define who we are. Healing is not a straight path, but with every step forward, you're creating space for hope, strength, and new beginnings. If today's episode brought you comfort or clarity, share it with someone who might need it too. Let's continue building this community of compassion and resilience together. Until next time, take care of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Honor your journey and always know that brighter days are ahead. I am Keisha B, and this has been Heart to Heart.